You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
So it's February, right? And when February comes around, what are some of the things that stand out to you about February? Just think with me a little bit. If you're a male here, you may be thinking. If you're a man, you may be thinking. Well, first of all, I'm going to think about the Super Bowl, right? Because it's usually the first weekend in February, right? And if you're a woman in here, you probably maybe think about the Super Bowl a little bit, minute, maybe more, I don't know. But maybe what you think about is what begins to happen after the first day of February. You go into the store, and what do you see as you go into the store? You see a lot of these hearts and a lot of these candies. In fact, I went to Walmart, and they were just redoing everything with Valentine's, things. And so most women think about Valentine's Day. And men, if you don't think about it, you better, right? If you're married, you think about Valentine's Day and how important that is. And so because we think about Valentine's Day, we usually equate that with love, right? The heart, Cupid, and we think love is the very center of February. So I thought it would be great for us to do a series on love during this month. And I thought about the quote by Martin Luther King Jr. that said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only." Say it with me, only what? Only love can do that. And then he went on to say, hate will never drive out hate. Only love can do that. And we find that love actually does what very few things can. Love changes people. Love changed us. It's the love of God. And love is... is so vital to our lives because God is love, right? Not only does love come from God, but the Bible teaches us that God is love. And so as we begin to process that reality that love is vital, everyone is really looking for love and everyone is looking to be loved. But what you find and what I have found is that love can be very complex. Anyone ever found that to be true? A lot of times we think that love is a feeling. I just feel like if I'm in love. And what you find as a reality is that love is not a feeling. Love is actually a commitment. Love is a choice of in our will. We can will to love someone. It's also we can reason our love out. You know, we can reason and think about, I need to give my love to my wife, or I gotta give my love to my husband, or I gotta give my love to my kids, even when they don't behave in a way that really deserves our love. And so you begin to process that it's complex. It's not real easy. And then we take a step back and we find that in the English language, there's one word for love. What's that word? Love. You're brilliant, right? And in the Greek language, where the New Testament was written, and you know, we find four words for love. We find love expressed in the word agape. And agape is the word that expresses God's love for us and our love that is reciprocated back to God. It's an unconditional love. And so we find that agape is one of the words or expressions of love. And then the next one is phileo. Anyone ever heard of phileo love? And that love is a love that you have in a deep friendship. In fact, in John 11, the shortest verse in the Bible is, it says, Jesus wept. And it goes on to say, that's verse 35, it goes on to say in 36, it says that the people that saw Jesus weep over his friend Lazarus, okay? He was crying over his friend who had died, and he had a great love for him. It says that the people said, see how he phileoed him. See how he loved him. And so it's a deep friendship, and some of us have that kind of love for friends. You just have you have a lot of different acquaintances. You have a lot of different people that you hang out with, but you have a deep love for some of your friends. That's phileo love. And then there's storge, right? The expression storge, and that's the family kind of love, the love for our parents, the love for our children, the love for our siblings. And in Romans 12:10, it says that storge one another with brotherly affection. In other words, this family of God, you need to express yourself with this storge, this family-oriented love. And it's the same kind of love that we have for our brothers and our moms and our dads. It's storge. And then there's another love. It's eros, E-R-O-S. It's where we get the word erotic, right? And that love has to do with sexual passion. And in the New Testament, we don't find the word eros there, but what you find is it tells us to keep our hearts away from something that will take us into immorality, don't let this eros love take us into a place that will take us away from God. But then we look in the Old Testament, and what we find is that it shows us in the Song of Solomon kind of this eros love, this affection between a husband and a wife, and it tells us exactly what that looks like. So let's take a step back again. Okay, we looked at the different kinds of love in the New Testament, and then we find that it's complex, right? And Gary Chapman, he wrote a book, it was a bestseller, Dr. Gary Chapman, and it was called The Five Love Languages. Anyone read that book? Anyone in here read? Okay, so we're going to, I'm in the process of reading it at this present time during this series, and we're going to kind of look at how he expressed some of the things. Wonderful, wonderful book. And I've talked to two people this week that said to me, I've read that book, and it's really been helpful for my relationships. It's really been helpful for my marriage. And so anything that's going to be helpful for us is good. Amen? How many of you say, yeah, I want whatever's going to be helpful for my marriage, for my relationships? And so we're going to embrace all of the good that we can find in that book. And we're going to look at five different love languages. And the first one that we're going to look at is words of affirmation. To affirm is to build up, right? Anyone ever built you up? That feels pretty good. We like that. So we're going to look at words of affirmation today. And then we're going to look at gifts. Some people's love language is gifts, right? They love to be given things. And so Dr. Chapman talks about that. Some people's love language is touch. They're huggers, right? They love to hug. They love to, you know, to shake hands and maybe pat on the shoulder and things like that. So touch is important. Acts of kindness we'll look at as well. And then we're also going to look at time. Some people, they don't care if you give them gifts, but they really want for you to spend time with them. That's their love language. And when you're not spending time with this person, you can see them shut down. Has anyone ever shut down because that person that you're in a relationship with, whether it be a friend, whether it be a coworker, or whatever, is not speaking your love language, and you begin to shut down, right? And so we're going to look at how this can help us as we look at this. And I began to process how big this is, because I've noticed about life that nothing in life is really easy. Anyone ever notice that? Because we come into love and we have all these feelings and we think, oh, this is going to be great, right? And if you get married or you get into a relationship or maybe a friendship, and then, you know, down the line, there's some roller coasters that you go through. There's some difficulties. And then you find out this is not as easy as I thought that it is because, you know, they don't act the way that they're supposed to, right? It's never us. They don't act the way that they're supposed to. And so we take a step back and we find out, you know, how, in all reality, when we're honest, it has to do with all of us as individuals that we're all unique. You know, we have several that are in our 201 class. They're finding out how they grow in their faith. We have this discovery class. The next class that we offer is called the 301. And in the 301, you find your shape, you know. And for some of us, it's not real hard to find our shape, right? Physically. But there's a lot more to our shape than what we see on the outside. There's our spiritual gifts. There's our heart, our ability, our personality, our experiences. And as you begin to process all of this, it really helps us to understand ourselves better. It helps us to understand how we can work for God better. In fact, for the past 2 years, our leadership, talking about elders, staff, our directors of ministry, we've been going through this growth plan. And in this plan, the first part of it was we all did an assessment. Any leaders in here remember you did a personality assessment? And they get these assessments. This is sort of like the Myers-Briggs. Anyone ever heard of Myers-Briggs? Okay, Myers-Briggs, and you do this assessment, and there's other ones. There's DISC, and there's other wonderful assessments. But as you're doing this, you begin to look at it, and when it tells you what kind of a personality you have, usually it nails it right on, right? If you're an extrovert or an introvert, if you're spontaneous, right, or more reserved, you begin to find out, and what it's taught us as a leadership is how do we express ourselves in our meetings? How do we express ourselves as we move forward? But you don't have to do a Myers-Briggs. You don't have to do a personality assessment when you get to know people. Because as you're married or you have friendships, don't you begin to recognize things that they don't like and things that they do like? Huh? For example, Sean and I were at a gathering about 2 years ago, and they had this not-so-newlywed game that we played. Anyone seen the newlywed game? And so the wife would stay there, and the husband would go down to the attic, and they would ask her all kinds of questions. They asked Sean all these questions about me and what I like and what I do and all these things that I'm supposed to answer, you know, what she likes. And so I come up the stairs with all these other guys, and we sit there, and they asked her this question. They said, "What is Pastor James's, what is Jamie's favorite comfort food?" And she looked at him and she said, "Everything." And so I come up the stairs and they ask the same question. And they say, "What is your favorite comfort food?" And I look and I thought, well, that's easy, everything. So we know each other, you know, we grow in this. So we're going to, now here's the thing, there's always room for growth. Amen? And so I'm going to ask everyone in here to join me for the next 5 weeks as we grow and we become better in our love language and recognizing the love language of those that we come into contact with. So we're going to start out with words of affirmation, and our scripture text for today is going to come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. And if you have your memory verse card, why don't we pull it out real quick? Pull your memory verse card out. That way you guys can hold it and look at it. It should be in pink, just like Valentine's, you know, month. Let's read it together. It says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." Let's do that one more time. I think that's great right there. "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." Can I pray over our message? Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for every person that's here in this first service. And I thank you, Lord God, for your word. The Word of God is perfect and true. And so as we dig in and begin to look at what it means to us as I preach this sermon message, I pray for your direction, your guidance. I put something together, Lord, but whatever you want me to add, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that I can be sensitive to hear your voice and to move the way you want me to move. And I pray for every heart that's here. We talk about love, and it fills our hearts and emotions and our mind. So I pray for every heart here today. I pray, Lord God, maybe where there's hurts or maybe broken relationships or maybe some difficulties in relationships, I pray that we can, by your power, that we can get things right and we can work toward the goal of being the best people that we can be for those that you've placed in our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So I have three points to boost your words of affirmation love language. 3 points. Okay, number one is verbal compliments or words of appreciation are powerful communicators of love. A lot of people mistakenly think that talking down to others is a source of power. I've worked with people like that. When I was working underground, I there were some supervisors that thought that talking down to people, that belittling people, was a source of power. That made them more powerful than others around them. I have probably in my own life used this as a manipulation tool, right? Sometimes criticizing people, we think it is a source of strength. If we criticize others, it somehow strengthens us as individuals. But in all reality, it weakens your relationships and it begins to hinder the growth that is available through the love of God. The Bible puts it like this. It says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise will always bring healing. Notice that the context of that Proverbs is what? It's language. It's words. You see, our words, they're either going to pierce, they're either going to cut, or they're going to heal. Think about that. Your words are either going to cut, they're going to pierce. If you're reckless with your words, they're going to cut. But if you're wise, they're going to heal. What we need to know is that when we don't appreciate our spouses or our children, our friends, or our coworkers, or when we don't compliment these same people, we begin to make withdrawals from the emotional account, from that trust account in their life. We begin to make withdrawals from that. Instead of investing and pouring into that love account, we begin to make withdrawals. And then if we make continual withdrawals by piercing, we deplete the trust in those people around us. We deplete that love in those people around us because love is reciprocated. See, the love, here's what I've come to find out with my love for God. Everybody says, love God. But the only way that I can love God is not with my love. My love falls so short. I reciprocate the love that was given to me from Him. God is love. And He poured His love into me when He gave Jesus Christ on the cross. He gave us all His love. He did not hold anything back. In fact, Jesus took the piercing so that we could get the healing. Jesus took the piercing so that we could get the healing. And Jesus on the cross, He did not say, Father, get them. They're a bunch of idiots. That's probably what we would have said. Father, get them. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And when we process that love, that's love right there. That was love. That was a love communicator right there. When we process that love, it's the same thing for us with people that hurt us. People that continually hurt us, that do things, isn't it something that they probably don't know what they're doing? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because if they knew what they were doing in all reality, if they had the lens of Christ, it would change everything. The book of wisdom, Proverbs again, it says, kind words are like honey. They're sweet to the soul, and they're healthy for the body. Isn't that crazy? That kind words are like, there's like this sweet taste to your soul. And your spirit, your soul, your heart, your mind, they begin to enjoy this. It's good for them. There are people who need a word of affirmation. In fact, there are people in your life whose love language is affirmation. In other words, when you talk down to them, they're going to shut down. I have three young adults now, and each one of them is different. Each one of them has a different love language. One of my young adults now, you know, they're grown. But as they were growing, if we talked down to him, if we just got upset and said, "You're doing this, you're doing," he would shut down. He or she. That way, you guys have to guess. But you guys have people in your life, or you may be that person that if someone talks down to you, if someone criticizes you, it's over. You're not hearing anything else. You're shutting down, right? And there's so many ways that we can be kind. It can be simple, right? If you're with your spouse, you can say something like, you know, you always look so nice. And that's important. Don't ever say you look nice today. Don't ever say that. Because then they say, well, do I not look nice all the other days? I've learned. 30 years. Listen to me, Linda. Listen. Right? 30 years of practice. There's a reason there's 30 years. You never say you look nice today. Don't you say you always look nice, but today, wow. That's a good one. You always look nice, Shauna. You always, but today, wowsy. Right? Hijo la nada, you make me speak in Spanish. To a coworker, you can say, you know what, you're awesome. Dude, I love working with you. You make my job better, you know. How about to a son or a daughter? You know, I always told my kids, you know what, you knocked it out of the park today. Great job, you did great. That always did better than me saying, you idiot. Can't believe you did that, right? You can use social media as a tool. If you have social media, it doesn't cost anything to like a post. If you're going through post and someone puts something, maybe scripture or something, like it. That's affirmation. You're being kind. You know, if they have a picture, say, great pic, right? Little things like that we can do. It builds people up. Blaise Pascal, one of the greatest thinkers in the history of the world, he said this. He said, kind words do not cost much, yet they accomplish a lot. Kind words, they don't cost. You know what a kind word will cost you? A breath. But you know what it will do in the lives of other people and in your relationships? A lot more. It's going to take this. Hey, you're awesome. Hey, thank you for what you did. Thank you for the visit. Thank you for the call. Thank you, you know, for you caring about my mom. Thank you for you being so nice all the time. I thought one sentence, one word, and it does a lot for that month. Here's point number two. Point number two, verbal compliments are greater motivators than nagging words. A couple, and let's just say husband and wife, And the husband is always nagging his wife to do something, and you keep on nagging. Notice how I'm being strategic here, men. Because the wives in this service don't nag. Maybe in the other one, but not this. So you're always complaining, you're nagging, right? But you never compliment the things that they are doing. Have you thought about that? Have you ever realized that sometimes you're nagging and you're talking about something that someone is not doing, but you never say the positives of what they are doing? Right? Now, I have to say this because it's biblical, okay? So wives, don't get mad at me. But it says in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, okay, says a nagging wife is like water going drip, 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 drip on a rainy day. That goes for a husband, but here's what I found. And I could be completely different, but I really believe that it holds true for everything. What I have come to find out is that a wife has a lot of leverage in the home. Did you know that? A wife can set the tone in the home. In fact, she can set the atmosphere a lot greater than her husband. If a husband, how do I know this? Because I've lived it, right? I have come in a bad mood. When I was working underground, I used to come sometimes and I was just tired. I was just unhappy. And I've noticed that I could be having this bad day and my wife would have the ability to bring the emotional atmosphere to a place that it needs to be. In fact, she had the ability. It's crazy. And I don't know if everyone else does, but I noticed this in my home, that my wife had the ability to tell my kids something like, you know what, your dad's had a bad day. I could hear her, you know, when I was doing my thing and I was just all groucho. And I know you guys don't believe that, but, you know, it could happen. I was all groucho, Marco. And so she had the ability to say, you know what, your dad had a bad day. You know, let's pray for him. And she could bring that atmosphere in the home into a place that I could never do. In fact, when she was having a bad day, we were all having a bad day. I'll just be real honest with you. I'll be real honest. When she was having a bad day, I wouldn't say, you know what, your mom's having a bad day. I say, what'd you guys do to your mom? What did you do? And they'd be mad, I'd be mad, she'd be mad. So when it says this, that a wife, a nagging wife, can be like drip, 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 it's because women, you need to understand this, you have an ability. You have an ability to do things that men can't do. I don't know how it is. I don't know how it happens. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the estrogen. You know, I don't know what it is. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to tell you that you guys have a lot of leverage in the home. And so grab a hold of it and use it for God's glory. Right? You know, Solomon wrote this. Before I even say what Solomon wrote, let's just say this, that when we're going to say something, let's think about what we're going to say before we say it. And I'm speaking to myself, right? Because sometimes you say something, and in that instant, it seems like the right thing to say, and you pay for it for a month. Anyone, right? It seems like the fitting thing to say. It fits. You think it fits in the puzzle, but you just broke the puzzle, right? And here's what the Bible says. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. And it's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Isn't that awesome? Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. And that's everywhere. That's at work. That's at in your family. That's if you're coaching, if you're teaching. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. And it's wonderful for you to say the right thing at the right time. And so for all of us, as we begin to think about love language, let's take a step back and let's say, you know what? I'm going to think before I talk. And that takes a lot of discipline. Mark Twain, he said this, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. I can live for, if someone compliments me, that'll push me into January and February. Okay, Jim, I need that. January, February. Becky, well, Becky will compliment, she's amazing, you know. March, April. Mike, June, July. I'm calling you out. Amy, August, September, right? Christopher, right? So we compliment each other. We compliment those people that God has placed in our life, and it's going to really, really help our relationships move forward. And I think that's what we want to do. We want to continually what? We want to continually move forward. The third point, and I love this one, encouraging the people you love with your words enables them to overcome some of their greatest struggles. And the reason that that is so important is because encourage, what that word actually means, is to inspire courage. That's what that word means. When you encourage, you inspire courage. You and I were called to inspire courage in the people that God has placed in our lives. And here's what we all need to know. There is a God-given potential in every person born. Every person. There's a God-given potential. And what happens in life is that you begin to get this potential stifled through anxiety and fear. In other words, people don't live out their potential because they're afraid or they're anxious or they're just don't have the courage to move forward. We have the ability through encouragement to help people reach their fullest potential. How do I know that? Because Paul told Timothy this. Paul told Timothy this. Timothy, let me give you a little bit of background. Timothy was a young man who was a disciple of Jesus, of course, but Paul, the apostle Paul, brought him under. And Timothy struggled. He struggled with some ailments. He gets sick, and I think a lot of that, you know, as I process his life, a lot of it had to be with his nerves, his nervous stomach. He was very timid, right? He was kind of very fearful of people. And Paul said this to him. Now, look at these words of affirmation. Paul said this, God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but he's given you one of power, love, and self-discipline. Ain't that awesome? He told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you have a God-given potential that God has given you an ability to do great things for God. And he said, God has not given you a spirit of timidity and fear. And how many people need to hear that? There are people that God has brought into my life that I have seen this timidity. I have seen they just did not, they were kind of fearful to get in front of people or fearful to live it out. And one of the things that I know the Lord has placed in me is to be an encourager, to inspire courage, to say, you can do it. There's nothing that we can't do. The only thing that we can do are the things that we won't do. Right? Look at how the Amplified Version puts it. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline and abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. That's a word of affirmation. That's a love language right there. So if you're here and you feel, you know what, I can't accomplish the things that God called me to accomplish, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can accomplish everything through Christ. For with Jesus walking with us, you'll be able to overcome the fears that you have. I had a friend. We were growing up, and I wasn't even saved, but we were growing up, and we played ball together. We played football, basketball. We ran track together. We played baseball when we were growing up, Little League. We were buds. We were homies. And we got to high school. He was a great football player. He was one of the leading rushers in the state of New Mexico. But when we got to basketball, he had this anxiety when pressure came. When there was a pressure situation, and we say it was a tight ball game, and we were inside of 5 minutes, inside of 2 minutes. I'll never forget this. He would say to me, he was a guard, I was a guard. He'd say, bro, you dribble the ball down the court. I might bounce it off my foot. He had this fear. He had this anxiety that he was going to mess up. He was going to mess up the game. And so he said, bro, you do me a favor. You dribble the ball down the court. I don't want to bounce it off my foot. Now, here's the deal. He never bounced the ball off his foot. But in his mind, he thought, I'm not going to be able to do this. He did not have the courage to be able to dribble the ball. Now, let me say this. He later on began having the courage. See, we're able to encourage people to say, you can do it. When's the last time that you had someone in your life that they're at a place that they think they cannot overcome an obstacle, but you know that they can? You know it. You might have a child. You may have a family member. You might have a friend, and they think, I can't do this. You don't understand. I can't do it, but you know that they can. And you begin to encourage them, and you say, you know what? I know you can do this. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity. See, what happens is when you begin to have this fear, this anxiety, and our society is filled with it. Our society is filled with anxiety and fear. And it weighs us down. In fact, the Bible says that worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word will cheer a person up. Why? Because it inspires what? It inspires courage. And you throw these words of encouragement. And that worry that is weighing someone down, and you have this pressure on you, and you say, I can't do it, I'm anxious, all this. Can I tell you that we need to be those kinds of people that will speak words of encouragement so that we can inspire courage in the people that God has placed in our life. When my wife says something, you know, she says, I want to do this, what do you think? I say, do it. Do it. Do it. You can do it. My kids, you know, I want to try this. Do it. You can do it. You can. Don't leave this life. Don't leave this life without doing everything that God has called you to do. Amen. Everything in life that's worth it is going to be difficult. Getting a college degree, you have to study. Making a marriage work for 10, 15, 20 years is difficult, right? But if you push through, you can, what? Say it with me. You can do it. We inspire courage. We inspire courage. We inspire courage. I'm done. I can do it. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, let me tell you, you can do it because he did it for you. He did it. Today's the day you can say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I give you my heart. I don't even know how that even works, but I give you my life. I give you my heart, and he'll meet you where you're at. You'll never be the same. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking the words of life to me. You spoke them to me in and through Christ. The good news of your love for me and all who trust in Jesus. I've learned today the power of a word of affirmation. How my words can be impactful and strengthen my relationships. So I ask you, Lord, to empower me by your Holy Spirit to speak words of grace and encouragement. Use me as your vessel who will, if I'm married, strengthen my marriage with compliments and wise words. And if I'm single, strengthen my friendship with compliments and wise words. In any and all relationships, use me to discern how to use my words as an instrument of your love. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said a big amen and amen. Let's stand up and worship our King.
This has been a message from Living Word Chapel. We hope that you've been blessed by it. Make sure you check out lwcoracle.org for more information.